Find your way to Galatians chapter 3. We're starting here. I'm going to do a scripture reading out of the book of Galatians because eventually I'm going to get to three points that I want to make today, and each one of those points could be a Bible study in themselves, but sometimes it's better to get the point and see maybe three points rather than spread it out for weeks. And so there's a lot of things in the book of Galatians that I could point to, so I thought I'll just do a scripture reading out of the book of Galatians. We probably won't be back in the book of Galatians the rest of the time. But I want you to see and think about this as we realize that what we're going to be talking about today is our spiritual blessings. Last week we were talking about Israel's physical blessings at the end of the message, and today we're going to be looking at our spiritual blessings. And so for a scripture reading, Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 25 and just follow along. It says, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Flip over to chapter 5. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Drop down to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be envious of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Father, your word is just jam-packed with spiritual truth that we can spend and will spend a lifetime studying. So sometimes we read a passage of scripture and realize how much is there. And yet sometimes we just need to back up and get an overview of what we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus. So we pray that will be accomplished today in each of our minds and in our hearts as we have this study together today about our spiritual blessings. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As you can see on the title, not only did I put a title, Our Spiritual Blessings, but that's the scripture reading we started with last week, where we talked about how we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And then we started talking about things that differ. So what we kind of laid out the information about how what God's doing today is different than how God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And so those things are different. There is a difference. And so we started focusing on the difference by actually looking at Israel's physical blessings so that we can be making a comparison today about our members of the body of Christ, we who are believers today, our spiritual blessings. And so we kind of laid that out. When we talked about Israel's physical blessings, we concluded last week looking at some of those so that you get them clear in your mind. I just I forget how many, what number is on that. But anyhow, we just listed some things out of Deuteronomy 7. We didn't even go to Deuteronomy 28. I threw some ideas that came out of Deuteronomy 28 just in your hearing so that you realize what Israel was promised by God under the law. We started reading how that God's love and blessings were given to them if they kept his commandments. that he goes on to talk about how they'd be blessed with children, how they'd be blessed with fruitful harvest, blessed with increase of herds, so that you realize that's their money. So they're financially blessed. It says that they'd be blessed above all people. And really, what we're talking about there in that context is prosperity above all the other people of the earth. But it even went on to talk about how God would heal them. So there was healing and health that were part of their blessings, physical blessings promised to them. They were promised protection. First, it started out by God would bless you in the city or out of the city. And then it went on, even if they went out of the country, they would be blessed of God so that they would have this protection. Their enemies would flee from them and all. So they had this blessing of protection from God. He talks about blessing their storehouses. Now, you have a storehouse when you have too much stuff. So it's like a bank account that's growing. So, it's a savings account for them. So he's going to bless their storehouses. And in fact, it went on to talk about how they would be lending money and not borrowing, so that they would be the world bankers, as I put it last time. And then they would be visibly blessed before the eyes of the nations. Everyone could look at Israel and say, man, there's something special about those people, because they could see it, because it was physical blessings that were being promised to them. And that finally it said there in Deuteronomy 28, we didn't actually look at the verse, but they would be the head of the nations only. They would be a head above all nations only. That means they have the supreme leadership kingdom above all the nations. So those are just some of the things that God promised the nation of Israel, but it was always associated with the law, that if they obeyed, here's the blessings that I'm going to pour out to you, and there's more than these. And then there's the, if they break the law, then the cursings, and it's a reversal of all these things and even more that they would suffer by breaking the law. Now, we did all that, but making the comparison, the difference between the nation of Israel and us, actually, making these slides can be a little bit difficult, because now you got to have the message, now you got to figure out what slide, how to make the slide. Anyhow, the reason I had slides last week, the reason I have slides this week, is these two points that I'm going to put up here. Because it comes real obvious that when you're looking at the difference between the nation of Israel and the body of Christ, their physical blessings are spiritual blessings, that it's obvious when you're reading the Bible that God in his dealings with the nation of Israel first blessed them physically. That's what the Old Testament's all about. With the future promise of spiritual blessing. And that is the new covenant, because without the new covenant, they're never going to be physically blessed ever. But the new covenant is going to cause them to walk in the way, God's ways, keep his commandments, and then all the physical blessings will come to them. So it started out him dealing with them with physical blessings with a future promise of spiritual blessings. And it's real clear when you read the Bible that that's how God was dealing with the nation of Israel. When you talk about things that differ, when it comes to the dispensation of grace that we're living in, God's dealings with us, the members of the body of Christ, God first deals with us with spiritual blessings. Remember Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed, past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We already have spiritual blessings. And so we're already blessed. So God dealing with us has right up front blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So that's what present. But we have a future promise of physical blessings. And certainly when it comes to the rapture, you're going to get a new glorified body, and so then your physical blessings come that way. So that's the difference between God dealing with the nation of Israel and God dealing with us, and that's a real important thing to get in your mind. So in Romans chapter, by the way, we'll be looking at verses in Romans, Ephesians, maybe a couple in Corinthians, but you might want to just go ahead and put your bulletin in the book of Ephesians. But what I want to say to you here is coming out of the book of Romans. And we quote it quite often, so you're probably familiar with this. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, It says, sin will not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So you can't get cursed. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Grace is God's undeserved, unmerited favor. You always stand in God's favor, and that's part of the grace of God in his dealing with us. But if we're not under the law, we're under grace. Think about the difference when we talk about the difference between God dealing with Israel and God dealing with us. When God dealt with Israel under the law, he dealt with them as children. That's why I read that passage in the book of Galatians, that under the law, that Israel as children were under tutors and governors. The way God dealt with Israel under the law, it's like putting the carrot in front of the donkey there, the horse, to get him to move. The idea there is God offers them physical blessings if they keep the law. It's the way you would deal with children. A child growing up, you kind of honor them when they do something good. You give them some treat, some blessing, some extra privilege. And when they do something bad, hopefully you know to punish them. And corporate punishment is good. The Bible says if you beat them, they will not die. So don't beat them till they die, of course. But the point is children, they get rewarded to do good, so they learn to do good, and they get punished when they do bad, so they learn not to do bad. That's how God was dealing with the nation of Israel under the law. But you're not under the law. You're under grace. Under grace, we are motivated by the love of God as adults. That we can live in the appreciation of all that God has given us by his grace because of the cross of Christ. So that's why we're not children, we're sons of God. That's an adult. And as adult sons, you realize your responsibility and your duty. You realize what God has done for you, and that motivates you. The love of God motivates you to live and serve him. That's the difference between law and grace, and Israel was under the law, we're under grace. So part of that understanding is that when God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, the first point that I wanted to make out of the three is that all our blessings, whether the present blessings, even the future when we get the physical blessings, are given to us freely by God's grace, undeserved, unmerited. We didn't perform anything to deserve it all. It's all through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes that when God has turned to us in his grace, he's given us already even Israel's spiritual blessings. Now, this is not all of our spiritual blessings that we're going to go through. I tried to list them there. I don't know if you can see all those, but I thought I'd do more than just make the statement on top. But what I want you to see is that we have, with the things that God promised the nation of Israel, we have it now. The future things that they're going to get, we got them now. So watch this comparison. You get Acts chapter 2. And hopefully you did slip something in the book of Ephesians. But Acts chapter 2. When I said Israel had the promise of future spiritual blessings, it began to break out on the day of Pentecost with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about in the book of Hebrews, it won't come fully into effect until the second coming of Christ. God's interrupted his dealings with the nation of Israel. But when God was dealing with Israel, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Peter's standing up, he's in Israel, in the temple in Jerusalem, and he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized." Just like John the Baptist baptized in water, they had to be baptized in water. "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Israel had been scattered. When it says all that are far off, that's the nation of Israel that scattered them out among the Gentiles. My point to you is that if they do what Peter said, that they'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the promise is to them and to their children and to all that are far off. Now that was to them. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I thought we're strangers from the promises made to the nation of Israel. We are. They are given to us by grace. What was promised to the nation of Israel, the Holy Spirit, here is the Holy Spirit is given to us and seals us, as you read in verse 14, all the way until the day of redemption. He's called the Holy Spirit of promise, but he wasn't promised to us Gentiles. He was promised to the nation of Israel, but we got him. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us, and the moment we believe, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit. That the other things when you think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this. It says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, it says, not that we are sufficient, Paul speaking about his ministry among the Gentiles, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the manifestation of death written and engraved in stones, so that's the law, the ministration of the law, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? I want you to notice two things. Paul talks himself about being a benefactor, actually a minister of the New Testament. Well, the new covenant is made to the nation of Israel. We are being made benefactors of the blood of Christ. Paul goes out among the Gentiles and teaches us that the blood of Christ is the payment for our sins. And so he's a minister of the New Testament. What his blood testifies that we have because of his blood, because he died for us. And not only do we have salvation through the blood of Christ, we have the administration of the Spirit. We're not under the law of condemnation, we're under the ministration of the Spirit. And notice why you're here. Look what the ministration does. Look at verse 17, the ministration of the Spirit. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now that's us studying the Bible and seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has made us in his Son, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God working in us spiritually transforms our life. And so Paul, the things that were promised to the nation of Israel, we become benefactors under the spiritual part of that, that his blood is the payment for our sins, and we have been given the Holy Spirit. Now come over with me to Romans chapter 9. Paul begins in this chapter to talk about how God was dealing with Israel and why and how he turned from Israel to us Gentiles. But he starts out this way. He says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus and becoming Paul the Apostle of Gentiles is the cutting off of the nation of Israel. He could actually wish that that never happened so Israel could be saved. But God is doing something different today. And what he could wish isn't what God's going to do. God's going to do what he did, and that is turn to us in his grace. But when he talked about his kinsmen according to the flesh, verse 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. That's a spiritual promise given to the nation of Israel. Look back at chapter 8 of Romans. And it says in verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption was a promise to the nation of Israel. It's a spiritual promise of the Holy Spirit. We have the spirit of adoption. Later on in the chapter, he's going to talk about the redemption of our bodies. That's the future physical promise that we have. But here, the adoption pertained to the nation of Israel, but we got it by grace. And then it goes back in verse 4 of chapter 9. It says, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? Well, the glory, I saved a place in Colossians. I just need to read, I'm going to read you this. The Apostle Paul talks about his ministry, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. That's Paul's ministry among the Gentiles. When you read the context, you can see what he's talking about. And what God's doing today was a secret, kept secret, until revealed to the Apostle Paul, for our glory, because watch what it says, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who did glory pertain to? It pertained to Israel. But what do we got? We got the glory. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the things that were promised to the nation of Israel, those things that were promised to them, God gave it to us, those two things. When you read about the covenant back in chapter 9 and verse 9, chapter Romans 9, verse 4 there, the covenants and the giving of the law, he didn't give us those things. The service of God we have, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have the service of God today in the dispensation of grace, not the nation of Israel. But those physical things, the covenant, the law, the covenants and the law, those things are promised to the nation of Israel. Those things haven't been passed down to us. So we have Israel's spiritual blessings. Come over to chapter 15. We read this last week, but emphasizing the point here. Romans chapter 15. Paul's taken up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And he says in verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. If they're poor saints, they're not receiving God's blessings, are they? So God had turned from the nation of Israel, turned to us Gentiles, and now the Gentiles are going to become a blessing to the nation of Israel rather than the Israel being a blessing to the nations. So he'd taken up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them, verily, that the Gentile churches, for it hath pleased them, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is to minister unto them in carnal things. So carnal things is fleshly things. And so there's a contribution being taken up for the poor saints at Jerusalem, and we're their debtors because we got their spiritual things. But do you notice it didn't say we got all their blessings, all their promises? We didn't get their physical promises. We got their spiritual blessings. That's what that says. And when you say that, you start thinking about some things. And since you're in the book of Romans, flip back to chapter 8, which we also read last week. Another reminder here that in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. In the dispensation of grace, it's called the long suffering of God. And guess what you're going to do in this long delay before Jesus Christ comes back and makes everything right in the earth? You're going to suffer. And so, but the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And part of that glory that's future for us, it says down in verse 22, and we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, but even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. We have the adoption of the Spirit, but we're waiting for the adoption of our body. That's the rapture. That's when we're going to receive a new glorified body, and all that suffering will go away. And so the point is that the future physical blessings are coming to us, but right now we have Israel's spiritual blessings. I want to read to you one other passage in 2 Corinthians concerning when we think about Israel's physical blessings that they had, that we don't have the physical blessings, what's real obvious is when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, it says, he's writing, he says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory." Now you're going to see what he's going to glory in just a minute. He says, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." The Apostle Paul was receiving visions and revelations from God for us Gentiles. As a result of that, he says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So God said, "No, I'm not going to heal your body. Most gladly," Paul says, "therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When the Lord says that his strength is made perfect in weakness, it's that when we're weak and physically, that's when God can work in us, because it's no longer us doing the things, it's God working in us. It tells us in the book of Philippians, "For God worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." We have God working in us. How is that? We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ. So Paul says he'll glory in his infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So he even talks about in necessities. What happened to prosperity? What happened to all the money? Now, maybe there's other verses I'll show you next week, but just I'm going to just tell you about some verses. You might want to write these down. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Timothy had an infirmity in the flesh, some kind of stomach problem. Paul's given him some advice to what to do about it. But you know what Paul didn't do? He didn't heal it. And Timothy is going to have to live with this, and Paul's given him some advice on how to live with it. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul says that Epaphras, he left at Miletus, I think. But Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. So Paul's traveling. Trophimus is with him, but he couldn't travel anymore because he got sick, so Paul just left him there sick. Well, what happened to the healing? There's no healing in the age of grace. We don't have Israel's physical blessings. In fact, when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, you know how to make sure that all your necessities are met? He says, "Work with your hands so that you might have." You don't just say, "Okay, Lord, give me manna from heaven. I'm hungry today." No, you want to make sure you eat, work. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So you realize, oh, God's not just pouring out blessings to us. We want to make sure that our needs are met. We got to go work with our hands, earn the money, and pay the bills. So you realize we're blessed with Israel's spiritual blessings, not their physical blessings. So we got their spiritual blessings, but even more than that, all our blessings, are a result of being in Christ. Stop and think about, we've already read some verses. You might be able to just flip if you still have the book of Romans. But when I say that all our blessings, all our spiritual blessings, are a result of being in Christ, how did you get in Christ? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We are placed into Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual blessing. But how did you get in there in the first place? It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into Christ. Paul says in Romans 6, "Know ye not that many of you are baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death?" We've been placed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sins are paid for. And so So we have a spiritual baptism. We read about it in Galatians there, about being baptized into Jesus Christ, not baptized in the water. That's Israel. Physical blessings. They get baptized in water, and they're going to receive spiritual blessings for a result of that. We're baptized by the Spirit into the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have blessings. Now, this is in these blessings, I'm going to list, if you just go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, the theme verse, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where are they at? They're in Christ. All our spiritual blessings come to us by being in Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit, a spiritual baptism, that put us in Christ in the first place. But now, once you're in Christ, skip verse 4. We'll talk about that next week. But in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, that's God's grace, wherein he, God, hath made us accepted in the beloved. We have, when we're in Jesus Christ, acceptance with God. We're accepted in the beloved. In the next verse, in whom, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. So we're redeemed of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, but that's a blessing that we have in Christ. All of our spiritual blessings come to us by the benefit of being in Christ. And that includes acceptance, it includes redemption, and if you finish reading verse 7, it includes forgiveness. It says, again, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All that given to us in grace. Those are spiritual blessings. Blessings that we have, spiritual blessings that we have because we're in Christ. Verse 11, it says, in whom, in Christ, also ye have obtained an inheritance. So we got an eternal inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 2 in verse 12, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Christ Jesus, we're made nigh to God. We're in his Son. And in his Son, that's where we start realizing what our blessings are, that we're not only made nigh, we're given the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ, you're as righteous as Jesus Christ was. He took our sins away. When you trusted the gospel, he imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you, but you're also found in Jesus Christ. And that's a spiritual blessing that you have his righteousness. In fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it talks about the life in Christ Jesus. And that life is eternal life that's in Christ Jesus. When you read the Corinthians who were carnal living, they didn't live a good life. But when Paul writes to them, he said, you're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified, set apart as holy unto God. That's a spiritual blessing, especially, and it's all by God's grace, because the Corinthians didn't deserve such a thing. And we don't deserve such a thing, but we have that in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Man, in Christ, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And then just quote one more. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul talks about his ministry among us Gentiles, that we could have salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation's in Christ, but it's not all. We have eternal glory. We already talked about the glory that we have in his Son. So all those things are given to us. All our spiritual blessings are given to us because we're in Christ, and we're in Christ because of the Holy Spirit, which makes the point, my last third point here. And that is, our spiritual blessings come to us by having the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, let me first say something about this. When we talk about spiritual blessings, we're not talking about what we're talking about in this here, about that come to us by the Holy Spirit, that we're not talking about what we are spiritually, what we've been given spiritually, but right now, just what does it mean, spiritual? Because we're physical people, and we don't think too much on a spiritual level. Sometimes we can, we understand what that is. But when he talks about spiritual blessings, what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual in the sense of non-carnal. Carnal is fleshly. So we're talking about blessings that are not physical, blessings that are not fleshly. The term, when you look it up, is ethereal, meaning celestial, heavenly, unworldly. Spiritual is about the best way that you can actually say that. But it's we're talking about immaterial, intangible, but at the same time, real blessings. You can't, how do you grab redemption? How do you grab forgiveness of sins? How do you even grab being placed into Jesus Christ? See, it's just blessings. They're real, but they're spiritual blessings. So they're not physical. And what's interesting about that is I started thinking about spiritual blessings. So I just wanted to make that little definition. But I looked it up in the Bible. Do you realize the word spiritual only shows up one time in the Old Testament? I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's found only 28 times in the whole Bible. In the New Testament, there's one verse in 1 Peter 1:5 that talks about spiritual two different ways. So the word spiritual shows up twice. All 25 other times that it shows up in the Bible is in Paul's epistles. Gee, we must be spiritual creatures, huh? Spiritual blessings given to us. I just accidentally found that by thinking about, well, how do you define spiritual? Just to make sure we have it together. But the point here is that it's by God's Holy Spirit that we have the spiritual blessings that we have. Israel in time past under the law never had the Holy Spirit. You have something they never had. And the Holy Spirit is a spiritual blessing, is he not? And something that you need to realize, Israel didn't have it, but we have it. And what difference does it make? Well, when we talk about things that differ, it makes a lot of difference. First of all, we've already read in Ephesians that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You still got Ephesians? Look at chapter 4, where it says it a second time. This was pointed out to me some time ago, in case you never heard me say it. And if you've been around, you've heard me say it a dozen times. In verse 30, when Paul's in chapter 4 of Ephesians, he's admonishing the Ephesian saints to walk worthy of the vocation. So, but anyhow, that we have. But in chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you lose your salvation? No. That Holy Spirit, even when you grieve him, seals you unto the day of redemption. That word grieve, it grieved God that he made man, it said in Genesis chapter 6. And so he brought the flood of Noah about and destroyed all living creatures on the air-breathing creatures on the earth. You don't want to grieve God. But here, by the Holy Spirit, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. So you talk about a blessing there. Go now to the book of Ephesians. I just quoted Ephesians. Well, I had you in Ephesians, I hope. And I just quoted Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I'm not going to reread those. But the next thing is that we're strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. I'll quote to you Colossians in just a minute. But in verse 13, Paul again talking about his ministry, he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is for your glory." Oh, Paul didn't have protection, did he? He's writing this from jail, a Roman prison cell. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." For the dispensation of grace that goes to us Gentiles today, Paul bows his knees. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Again, where is God working today? God works today inside of us. He does it by his Spirit in the inner man. And in the inner man, we can be strengthened, it says, with might. You talk about, everyone wants to talk about power of God, but they think externally, don't they? They don't think about the power of God internally, working in the inner man. I started to quote Colossians because when you read that in Colossians, it says, strengthened with all might by God's Spirit in the inner man. All might. Like you lack nothing. Whatever you go through in life, you have the ability to go through it by God's Spirit in the inner man. So you're strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So we're now light. We were darkness. We walked in darkness. But we're children of light, and we should walk in the light. But he goes on to say in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not only are we told to walk as children of the light, when it talks about fruit of the Spirit, the fruit comes as a result of life. A dead tree doesn't produce fruit. God's Spirit in us has produced life, and that life can produce fruit in our life by the Spirit of God. And think about what we read in Galatians, that we are, I quote a million times. We read it in our scripture reading. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The Holy Spirit wants to produce those things in you. And so Paul's talking to us about walking in light and about the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And that comes, look at verse 18 of Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and so forth. The Holy Spirit can fill, can control our life when we allow Him to do so. We can grieve Him, we've already saw that, but we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and produce fruits of the Spirit in our life that are to the honor, the glory, and praise of God, as it says in the book of Philippians. So we have that benefit. We're enabled to by the Spirit not only to walk in light, but be fruitful. Even our warfare, come over to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Whether we're talking about our weapons or our armor, it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're going to put on God's armor, not ours. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you read that Old Testament, did Israel fight flesh and blood? They sure did. All those wars were flesh and blood. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So even our battle is a spiritual battle. That when you talk about, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And it's talking about the Word of God. We already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that as we look at what we are made in Christ Jesus, we're changed into the same glory even as by the Spirit of our God. That as we study God's Word, we are transformed by God's Word unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are physical creatures, but we're not just physical creatures. When you read, like for instance, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. But just prior to that, he says, he that is spiritual judges all things. We're physical creatures, but we are called on to become spiritual creatures. And that is by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in our life, we can achieve things in this world for God's glory. But it's all being done on a spiritual level. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God is the means that we're equipped for the things that God has called us to. And ultimately, what He's called us to is the very life of Christ. That is, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit in our life, that The spiritual life from God dwells in us by His Spirit and works out through us by the Word of God to manifest in this physical world we live in the spiritual life of Christ, to make people know who Jesus Christ is. And we do that by preaching the gospel and living the gospel. So that is what God is doing in us, because He's dealing with us on a spiritual level. And dealing with us, I didn't try to list all the spiritual blessings. I didn't even list all the things that we have in Christ. I'm just telling you where they come from, what spiritual blessings are and where they come from. And they all center around the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to us and we lack nothing to be the people that God has called us to be. Now, with that said, I close with this statement. All spiritual blessings are ours, given to us by the grace of God. But believers who are ignorant of spiritual blessings, or just want to, they're not satisfied with spiritual blessings and want to claim Israel's physical blessings, are rejecting the things that God is doing today, trying to be the nation of Israel, trying to claim the physical blessings of the nation of Israel. And the problem of that leads me into next week's study. Now, last week at the close, I said I can preach on, or we can come back next week. You all agreed to come back this week. So if you agree to come back next week, I want to warn you about those that are neglecting. Now, some just don't know. They're ignorant of the spiritual blessings, what that means. But some who maybe heard that would rather have Israel's physical blessings and try to claim them. And I want to warn you about against that next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We think about Israel, sometimes we get a little jealous of those physical things because we are physical beings. Father, I thank you for revealing to us spiritual things, even calling on us to become spiritual beings in a physical body, that we might do your work in this world that we're living in, and we'll certainly get a new glorified spiritual body in the resurrection. But we thank you for teaching us the difference between Israel and us. We thank you that we're not under the law, that everything given to us is given to us freely by your grace through what Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. I pray it'll motivate us to become the people you called on us to be. And we pray that you'll transform our life by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.